For tonight's panel on surrender, we have Christina, Catherine, Al, and Bill. We handpicked everybody on this panel, me and my wife did, because of what we thought we had heard in their shares with us on their personal life. Every one of these panelists we felt had shared with us on a personal level examples of surrender in their life and how they surrendered. Now, I do have to say that surrender isn't actually, the word surrender is not actually in the first 164 pages of the Big Book. However, the principle of surrender is all throughout it. And so I'm really excited to share with you guys. And of course, ladies first, so.
Thanks, Bo. Set my own timer. Hi, everybody. I'm Catherine. I'm an alcoholic. Thanks to the grace of God that I didn't believe in when I got here, the 12 Steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, and awesome sponsorship. I haven't had to have a drink since January 1st, 2008, and I'm really grateful for that. So Bo already gave part of my talk. Thanks, Bo. but yeah, I mean, the book doesn't use that word surrender, but you know, it does use the word abandon. And I think that's, you know, surrender is to give up completely or to agree to forego, especially in favor of another. And then abandon is to give up completely. And it talks about abandoning myself to God. So, you know, I think for all of us that surrender, obviously the first surrender, maybe not even the biggest one, but the first surrender is always that surrender to alcohol. At least that's what it was for me, you know, and gosh, it took me a long, long time to surrender to alcohol. I mean, I was 52 years old when I got here, and I, you know, I probably could have surrendered to it 30 years before that, you know, I would have still been in the right place, but, you know, it took me a long time, and you know, finally that, and I guess for me the thing about surrender is that I don't think it really has anything, surrender doesn't really have anything to do with what I do. Surrender is surrender is a grace of God, and it has been over and over again. Surrender is, for me, has not been a one-time event. It was a one-time event pretty much for me with alcohol. I mean, I got to that bottom. I got to that place where I couldn't not drink. I didn't enjoy my drinking anymore. I just wanted to die. And, you know, all of a sudden out of my mouth came, God help me, and I didn't even believe in God. And that was, you know, that was my surrender. But that was just, you know, just the beginning of the surrenders. When I asked my sister for help, and she told her I wanted to go to treatment, and the treatment center asked me, they said, do you believe in a power greater than yourself? And I said, I don't know about that, and I'm thinking, what kind of yahoos has my sister got me hooked up with here? But then they asked me that ever-important question, and I said, I don't know about that, and they said, are you willing to believe? And I was, you know, and that was another surrender, because even though I didn't really know what I was going to believe in or how I was going to come to believe in anything, you know, I just had said yes to that question. And I wanted to not drink enough that I was willing to do whatever it was going to take to be able to come to believe in a power greater than myself. I knew they were talking about God. At least I had a pretty good idea that that's what it was when they asked me that. So so if I'm trying to make something, what my experience with surrender is if I'm trying to make something happen, you know, that's not surrender. That's why I say, for me, surrender is really about just letting go and letting God. And it's, you know, and it's not always easy. And it almost always, it always requires some pain and some discomfort. Before I'm willing to do that, I mean, I have to get uncomfortable enough, at least at this point in my sobriety. I don't know, you guys, for some of you that are on the long timers panel, maybe you can just poof and surrender, but, I'm not there yet. So like I said, it's not a one-time event, and it is about, it's almost always about hitting bottom for me. So I surrendered to alcohol, and that actually came relatively easily, except for those 30 years beforehand. But, you know, once I got to that point where I knew I didn't want to drink anymore, the obsession to drink was lifted, and I was willing to do what I needed to do to stay sober. But the other thing that, I mean, like I said, surrender is a ongoing process, and there's lots of things in my life that I have to surrender. And the second big one that I really struggled with for 7 years after I got sober was quitting smoking. And I wanted to quit smoking. I hated that I was a smoker. I had a health background, and I kept relapsing on smoking. I never relapsed on alcohol, but I kept relapsing on smoking, and that thought would come to my head, and boy, I was off to the races again. I was lying about it, lying to my husband, lying to my sponsor. I was a closet, sneaky smoker, and I used to pray. I would pray every day, God, please take away this obsession to smoke. Just don't make me tell anyone. You know, so I'm not quite surrendered yet with that. You know, at that point when I'm still saying, please don't make me tell anyone. And so what happened with that is one night I do a weekly letter to my sponsor, and this has been about 8 years ago now. I do a weekly letter to my sponsor, and out of my fingertips comes, I haven't really had a very good week. Larry's been gone all week, and so I've just kind of sat home and played games on my Kindle and watched TV, and out of my fingertips came and smoked. And it's like, well, shoot, I don't want to put that in here. So I deleted that out of the email, and then I thought, well, I need to think about this. So I go to a meeting, and the meeting is on surrender. So I thought that, you know, was that one of those, is that odd or is that God? But it was what it took for me to come home and include that back in my letter. And it was, you know, and it really was, it was about, it's that same first step, you know, I have to admit. And that's almost always the first, I mean, the first step is the first step. I have to admit, and that's the beginning of, I think, of surrender, at least it has been for me. So, like I said, the idea of believing in God, that was a huge surrender to me, or for me. There's a, when I was going through the steps the first time, my first, I call her real sponsor, had me mark the things in Bill's story that I wasn't willing to do. And I was pretty willing to do things when I got sober. I had a good level of willingness, but it came to that point. There's a couple lines in Bill's story that I really balked at. And one of them was, I gave myself unreservedly over to the care and direction of God. And I put a big asterisk by that one. It's like, I'm not willing to do that. And then like the next sentence or a couple sentences later, it says, I admitted that of my, you know, by myself, I was lost. And it's like, well, I'm not lost. I've been independent, and I am woman, and, you know, I have managed my life and the show for my entire life. And, you know, I'm not lost without God. And you know, but it's been through the work and the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous and a sponsor reminding me on a very regular basis that I now do believe those things. You know, I don't always do it perfectly, but my intentions are to unreservedly give myself over to the care and direction of a God that I now believe in. And there's lots of times when I know I'm lost without God. You know, sometimes I still think I'm not, but a lot of times I'm still very lost without God. So the nicotine was the second big surrender. The third big surrender was sugar. I knew I had a problem with sugar, I would inventory it. I mean, I do a nightly inventory, and I would inventory it almost every night, because I was telling myself lies. It was come up under dishonesty, telling myself, oh, it's okay that I'm eating, you know, 8 cookies for lunch, you know, the big bakery cookies, you know, and it's, you know, and my husband's cookies too. That was the biggest problem. But you know, I mean, and just over and over, and I mean, I would tell myself I'm only gonna have one little square of chocolate, you know, and I'd make it that way for a couple of days or a couple of weeks, and then I'm back to having, you know, a dozen squares of chocolate. So it was the same. It was the same powerlessness, but it was about, in that case, it was, there was a couple things that happened. It was inventorying it. For a number of years, it was coming up in my nightly inventory as, you know, as the dishonesty, the lies that I'm telling myself that I don't have a problem with this, it's okay what I'm doing, you know, and deep down inside me, I knew that it wasn't. Also, it took a couple of years of going to the doctor and watching my A1Cs, whatever they are, climb up, you know, kind of the beginning of a kind of a pre-diabetic mode, and my mother had gone through diabetes. And then finally, I went to the doctor one year, and I'd never really had a problem with weight, but I went to the doctor this one year, and she said, "What's going on with your weight?" You know, and it's like, well, I have a really good appetite, which I do, but I also said, and I really like my sweets. And, you know, and I don't know what happened, but I got home from that doctor's appointment, and something just changed. Something just clicked, and I quit eating sugar, and I haven't eaten sugar since, and I eat fruit. You know, and stuff. So that was another surrender, but it's, you know, I think surrender is a process. And again, I was uncomfortable with that fact that I was putting on weight, that my blood tests weren't looking good, that, you know, I knew I was lying to myself. Again, it's that, for me, I have to get a little bit uncomfortable. You know, but there's also a lot of, for me, there's a lot of ongoing surrenders that, you know, I certainly haven't mastered, or God hasn't completely allowed me to surrender them yet. You know, my pride, my ego, my perfectionism thing, you know. I mean, I don't know how many times I've had to tell my sponsor my ego's out to kill me after she's reminded me of it. And I think the biggest thing right now is and I don't know, I still don't know, it feels like fear, but I also have something going on with my heart. And I, you know, and I don't know what it is, but I don't like it. It doesn't feel good. And so, you know, but I keep thinking that I should be able to figure it out. I should be able to fix it. I should be able to make it go away. And that doesn't seem to be the case. And so, you know, I think for all of us, the surrender, like I say, it just comes when God wants it to come. I mean, I do have to do things. I have to do my inventory. I have to talk to my sponsor about things. I have to admit things to you. You know, and it seems like at some point, at some time, eventually the grace of God enters and takes away whatever it is that I'm struggling with. So thanks, you guys.
I'm Christina, alcoholic. I wrote this out 100 times, and none of it worked. Surrender is a good one for me. I've done this program 3 different times, and started September 6, 1991, and I was 32, and then I was 53, and then I was 63. So. Surrender for me this time is huge in so many areas, like Catherine said. the sugar thing, that just happened to me. A1C's at 6.2 and the weight's coming on, and those things never happened to me. So I have to give that up to God. I have to make a decision to not lie to myself and eat the sugar and you know, do all the things that we can as alcoholics shove under the rug and make it like it's okay to do. So step one and step three for me, actually step three, because I gave up alcohol. I knew my life was unmanageable 3 different times, and 3 different ways it was unmanageable. So drinking is not an option for this alcoholic. Ever, but made a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God as I understood him. I always had a love for God and church and worship music, And I thought that I was giving my life over to him because, you know, things always came easy. And I never really had to struggle. Even in my addiction, things were easy. I didn't lose all the things that people do. And, you know, I got sober, and all I ever wanted to do was have a child. And 3 months later, I'm pregnant with my child, who's now 30, and he's pregnant. His girlfriend is pregnant. So that's, you know, I have to give him up. I have to surrender him. He is not mine to worry about. He's not mine to obsess about. He's God's, and I have to use this program for that. I did 19 years of sobriety. He turned 18, and 8 days later, I was drinking. So I put all my eggs in one basket, and you can't do that. You just can't do that. And then again in 2013, you know, I got a DUI. I knew, I mean, I'm an alcoholic. I'm not supposed to be drinking. 2010 to 2013, 2.5 years. I'm not supposed to be drinking, so I'm hiding it, I'm sneaking it, I'm doing all the things you're not supposed to do, thinking I'm getting away with it. And then I used to go to AA meetings, I went to Celebrate Recovery, I went to counseling, and I would just pray that God would take that monkey off my back. But he wouldn't do it. He just wouldn't do it because I wasn't doing it. I wasn't doing what needed to be done. So January 20th, 2013, I get a DUI. And I was so intoxicated that they couldn't even do a sobriety test because I couldn't stand up. So they throw me in the cop car, and they put the handcuffs on me, and that obsession is gone. It's gone. I don't have it anymore. I don't care about it. I spend from 7 p.m. to 11 a.m. the following day in a jail cell, luckily by myself, not with anybody else. I mean, that's God's grace right there, because if I'd have been in there with the likes of people that are in the Havasu jail, I don't know what I would have done, but I was by myself. And I knew. I ran straight to AA, and I was doing the thing. I did the steps, I got the hard sponsor. You know, I was of service. I loved it all, except I didn't like the meetings. I was like, you people need to get a life. This is ridiculous. And so little by little, you know, year after year, I just slowly but surely would quit going. And then COVID came, and I was in the medical field, and COVID came, and I don't need meetings, and, you know. And then here I move here April of 2021, and by June I'm drinking again. So And totally hiding it, just closet drinker 24/7 because I'm not working. So my sweetheart tells me twice, but in May he says, I'm not doing this with you. And I know his family history, his background. He's lost 2 sons to heroin addiction. I mean, we don't know if they're dead or alive. We assume they're not around. His wife that passed away of cancer was a drinker like myself. And so he's put up with a lot of bull. And I did it to him anyways, you know, I did it to him anyways. And I'm pretty sure as I look back on it through my work and my step work with my sponsor, I'm sabotaging myself because this man is too good. Obviously, I've been married 6 times. What is he doing with me? But he stayed. He stayed. So I did what needed to be done because I don't want to be a drunk old woman. I don't. My dad always said there's nothing worse than a drunk woman, and that's a drunk old woman. And I don't ever want to be that again because it isn't pretty. It's not pretty. And I wasn't raised that way. My parents were not alcoholics. My biological father was, and I was never raised with him, so obviously it doesn't fall far from the tree. But surrender for me this time is I have turned, you know, I turned alcohol over to God twice, but now I'm turning my life and my will over to the care of God as I understand him. And I'm so grateful that the program and all the people that I've met in Yuma, oh my gosh, it's, you know, obviously my mind is open and I'm in a different spot, but you all are amazing, amazing examples of sobriety. I've not, you know, been in and out of places, and I don't know, I want to say it's Yuma. Maybe it's me, maybe it's God, but it's an amazing gift to watch everybody. And I want what you guys have. I never really wanted what y'all had, and I do now. And so I'm willing to do the work. I'm willing to surrender. I give it to God today. Like, I don't drink no matter what. Of coin was given to me early on this time. It's May 17th, 2021, by the way. And they gave me a coin that said, don't drink no matter what. You're part of the no matter what club. And I never ever thought of it like that. You know what? It's pretty simple. Just don't drink and it'll get better. If you drink, it's gonna get shitty. So I carry that coin in my wallet, and anytime I thought it was a good idea to go to Walgreens, Walmart, or wherever I thought I should go buy my booze, I didn't do it. I didn't do it. And you know what? It got better. I forgot about it. It didn't matter. And that was a God thing. And I love alcohol. I'm one of those kind of drinkers, and it wasn't that bad, and I didn't end up in the toilet, and you know, just so many things, but I can't think about it that way anymore. I have to think about it as, this is my life, and this is a gift, once again, from God. And also, when I was 35, I was diagnosed with stage 4 colon cancer. My son was 2, and you know what? That's a God thing. I shouldn't be here. I should not be here, but I'm here, and I can't throw this gift of sobriety away again. And I hope that I can change or touch one person's life that's an alcoholic to know that this is the easier, softer way. And to surrender is the easiest thing one can do. Quit fighting everything and everyone in alcohol, and oh my goodness, the world opens up like you've never seen before. So I'm super grateful to be here. I have surrendered thanks to my sponsor, my God. And you know, grace of God, when I got sober in 2013, grace is what saved me. I'm a very faithful Christian, and grace saved me, and I got grace tattooed on my neck, and my license plate says Sweet Grace, and people think that's my name, and it's not my name. But if I could change my name, I'd change it to Grace, because without God's grace, I would not be here today in so many ways, so many times. The drinking was horrible, the cuts on the head, the troubles with the law, you know, all of it. And God's grace, again, I drove drunk this time, and that was a big thing for me, because, you know, you're drinking and driving, that's not acceptable. I drank and drove, and here's God's grace again. I pull into somebody's driveway, I have no idea where I'm at, I pass out, I black out, I wake up, there's light shining in my car, and I'm in a driveway in Lake Havasu that I have no idea where I'm at. And the policeman said to me, is there somebody you can call to come and get you? I should have been in jail with another DUI. I should have. I said, oh, I do have somebody. And so I called my old boss, and she came and got me, and her husband got my car and took me to my sister's. And, you know, God's grace. He said, I got something for you, little lady. Just keep doing it, and you will find that this program will work for you. Just because when I moved here, I thought, I need to get into a meeting. And, you know, I didn't. I was afraid. Y'all scared me. So I get to surrender today. I get to surrender today. And it's a beautiful, beautiful gift. And I get to do it daily. And I get to do it with my alcohol, with my sugar. The biggest one for me is my son, because he was my everything. He's just the joy of my life. He's my favorite human. But he's not mine, he's God's. And so I just hope that I can be a good example for him on how to maybe get sober, raise his child, and be a better human. And with that, I'll close. Thanks.
Well, my name's Alan, I'm a recovered alcoholic. I quit. I'm beat. I'm done. I'm out of here. That's not exactly surrender. That's just plain quitting. But I came across something that I think embodies what my idea of surrender is, if I can unfold it. Surrender is saying yes. Yes, I accept that this is a terrible situation, and the way I can make it better is. This is how surrender becomes the key to taking positive action and frees us from so many of the negative emotions that we strengthen by opposing reality. surrendering to alcoholism. I knew I was an alcoholic. People told me that. At that time, I was a teenager. They said, you need to do something about the way you act when you drink. And as the years went by, and finally one person specifically told me, you're nothing but a common drunk. We don't want you around here. And it was like, yeah, stick it. You know, how dare you? So I did the surrender, and my idea of a surrender is like a military surrender, where one general hands his sword to the other and says, I put my forces under your command. What do you want me to do? And in my case, usually it's stop fighting. Just stop fighting, put down your weapons, and let's work this out. And that's what I did. The first place that I turned over my forces, which was my will, was to the people of Alcoholics Anonymous. Not the program. I mean, that's words in the book. It's the people who make the program alive. And that's who I turned my forces over, to the people that were in Alcoholics Anonymous. I came in at 35 years old on June 3rd, 1982, and there was a lot of old guys. And I had worked in the heavy industrial trades, and I worked with a lot of old guys. And I already knew these guys knew the ropes. They had the experience. So I turned my will over to them, and they gave me the book. And after my first meeting, I figured, this is the lunatic fringe. You know, step one, they're telling me I can't handle my business and I'm weak. Step two and three, they just give it all to God and everything will be okay. And one guy took me aside after the meeting. He says, don't worry about the steps now. What you need to worry about is figuring out what we read and how it works. If you want what we have, then you are ready to take certain steps. So first you need to figure out what we have, and then if you want it. So he said, just relax, go to meetings, try and identify with people. And that was the beginning of my turning my will over to Alcoholics Anonymous and the people in it. They had what I wanted. People had a calmness of spirit that I never could imagine, no matter what was going on in their lives. Just that one thing, I thought that would be wonderful. And everybody did the same thing. They did the steps, they came to meetings, and they helped other people do the steps. And that was my original. And then later on, I turned my will over to God. My life was easy. That was half done, because my life had always been in the care of God. I looked at things that had happened in my life, things that didn't happen. I served in the Navy, I grew up in a combat zone, and I walked out of it virtually unscathed. And I almost had motorcycle accidents. There were so many things that almost happened to me. Guy almost shot me one time over a drunken brawl. And none of this stuff happened to me. So my life had always been in the care of God. So that was the easy part. But turning my will, you know, my mighty will, master of my own fate, captain of my ship, which is a bunch of baloney. You know, one phone call just changes your whole life and you have no control over it, none whatsoever. So I learned to turn, and I had always believed in God. There was no doubt in my mind that there's something. Any force being or person that can get the sun to come up every day at the same time that early, it's really got some power. And I thought, well, okay. I believed in God, but I just didn't know how to make that two-way communication. And that's one of the things I learned at Alcoholics Anonymous. Alcoholics Anonymous led me to a few churches, and it strengthened my faith and gave me a faith, something I could believe in. So that was my second big surrender, the big one, where I said, okay, God. And then the big book tells us, if we follow the plan, this is the way we allow God to discipline us, this simple plan. All I had to do. See, I wasn't so mentally ill. I didn't have a lot of other problems. I'm just a plain old garden variety drunk. I'm an alcoholic. And if I stick to the book and stick to the program, then I have a recovery. And like the people said, they said, we are over 100 men and women who have recovered from this disease. And so I said, yeah, that could happen. Recovery to me doesn't mean I'm perfectly well and everything's wonderful. It means I've recovered. I'm in remission, about as much remission as I can ever expect to hope. I mean, that's just what it is. And the thing that I read, saying yes, I have a problem. And the other thing is not fighting reality. To just say, yeah, this is it. This is the reality. I can't drink. A number of years ago, one of my stepsons, my wife is here, she has four sons, they're my stepsons. They're all big guys with the temperament of your average hockey enforcer. And the one son said to me, your problem is you can't hold your liquor. And I said, well, no kidding. Why didn't you tell me that when I was 15? You know, yeah, that's the problem. I can't hold my liquor. Never could, never will be able to. So what? That's the reality of it. Now, what am I going to do about that reality? Since alcohol had warped my mind and my spirit, it made me what it wanted me to be instead of what God intended me to be. So how do I get to be what God intends me to be? Well, I come to AA. I do the steps. And most importantly, I helped other people do the steps. I wanted to do the steps over again. My sponsor said, that's a pretty selfish attitude. I said, what do you mean? Everybody does steps over and over. He said, it's a selfish attitude. He says, grab somebody, he says, and help them through the steps. That's how you do them over. And that's what I started to do. And I did that for a number of years, helping various people through the steps. And I learned where the real magic of the steps is locked. It's in helping others through the steps. So, but now I'm thinking, the last few years I'm facing the biggest surrender that I've ever had to face, which is the fact that I'm getting older. My brain wants to write checks that my body can't cash. It's that simple. And it's difficult. I mean, I always prided myself on my physical abilities. I worked in the heavy industrial trades. I went through a specialized training in Little Creek, Virginia with the U.S. Navy. I came out of there, I could run all day and all night with a 60-pound back on my backpack. I weighed 160 pounds, didn't have enough fat to float, and I was a tough little monkey. And I was always big for my size. For a number of years, I had no neck. I mean, I was a big, bulked-up guy. For a short fellow, I was a big, bulked-up guy. I worked in the heavy industrial trades. I was a gym rat. I did a lot of bicycling. I got in half-century rides, century rides. Physically, I was fit, and I've always been proud of that. Now it's fading. I've had joint replacements. Things hurt. Four or five hours just redecorating the family room in our house, and I need a nap. I couldn't work another 12-hour shift. I did my overtime on what the pipe fitters call the bull gang. If you ever see those miles and miles of pipes, well, somebody's got to put them up 40 feet at a time. And it's all heavy work and it's heavy equipment. And I could do that all day. And into my 50s, I could work these young guys into the ground. Can't do that anymore. It's difficult at times for me to accept the fact that I'm getting older. I'm having to surrender to my bodily, physical limitations. You know, like seniors in sobriety. Well, here I am. I'm one of the seniors in sobriety. And that's a surrender for me to recognize my limitations and stay within them, even when I don't want to. And so that's a pretty big surrender for me. And it's true that surrendering keeps going. There's always something that we have to give over to. It's not giving up, it's giving over. It's accepting something different. It's just saying, well, this is reality. This is the way it is. You have to surrender your son to marriage. I had to surrender my 13-year-old son to homicide. I had to surrender the fact that my whole life was going to be different from that moment on. It's just going to be different. I didn't give up. I just said, you know, I'm giving over. I'm giving over to the new reality in my life. And the old ideas, the old thinking I had, no matter if it was successful, things happened without my permission. Now I have to change. I have to be different. Whatever I had planned, whatever I thought was going to happen in my life, I have to give this over to the new reality of what is. Alcohol was easy. Being an alcoholic was easy compared to living. Because life sometimes gives you a good slap upside the head. Sometimes I say life is like a fastball pitcher. You stand on the bat with the bat, and some of those pitches come in fast, high, and inside. And you're not always ready for them. But that's the reality of life. So I've always had to, sometimes I've had to backtrack and say, okay, this is not happening for me. I just have to say, this is it. Just face reality and not harbor all those negative emotions and say, I'm defeated, I'm beat. Well, sometimes I have been beat down. Doesn't mean I can't get up. Doesn't mean I can't keep turning my will and my life over to the care of God. Everything that happens in my life happens for some purpose that I will never, ever understand. I'll never get it. You know, my young son asked me one time, he says, Dad, he says, when you put gas in the car, what makes it go? I can explain to a 7 or 8 year old that whole thing. I know all about cams and gearing and combustion rates. I know all that stuff. But he wouldn't get it. His mind's not developed enough. So if God says, Alan, what do you want to know? So I'd ask him a question, he'd give me an answer right over my head. You know, I'm not equipped to understand the mysteries of the universe, nor do I want to anymore. I'm just happy to be in my spot and be okay and say, well, things change and I have to accept new realities. And at times I just have to give it up and say, okay, I'm done with this. What's next? And that's been working for me so far. I'm pretty happy to still be in this program. When I first got here, I had no idea I would live this long. Not even a clue. I figured if I made 50, 55, that'd be pretty good. You know, now I figure, well, I got this far. I fully intend to go out in a hail of bullets or a blaze of glory, but not this week. So thanks for listening to me.
Let me get my clock set up here.
Go.
All right. My name is Bill Olson. I'm an alcoholic. And I came here today so I wouldn't have to take a drink one day at a time. It looks like it's going to work again. I'd like to thank Bo and Ronnie for inviting me to be a part of this. My expiry date's February 25th, 1994. I'd like to say that again. February the 25th. It's coming right up, so you guys all pay attention out there, okay? So the first thing I'd like to say is where is my whiteboard? I ordered up a whiteboard, you know. I can't give these talks without a marker and a whiteboard. Now, I got to be able to write up here CH3CH2OH, you know, and go from there, you know. That's because I'm still half-assed arrogant, you know. I never even knew what, a lot of feedback, huh? I never even knew what surrender was even all about until I was well into the steps. And maybe even after I had a year or two so I could look back and identify where surrender happened for me. Because, you know, I drank too much too often over too long a period of time and I became this helpless, hopeless drunk. I mean, I realize that I belong up here talking to many people, but not as a recovered drunk. You know, it should be something a lot more magnificent than that. I got that arrogance from growing up and everything going my way. I grew up in poverty, didn't have indoor plumbing or lights till I was 16, and I ended up putting people into space. All of that made me arrogant enough that it damn near killed me, because I knew that I was smart enough to outsmart this thing. And, you know, from the time that a first drink actually worked for me, which was about, you know, when I was about 19, until I finally sobered up until in 50, I knew that I could handle this thing on my own. I didn't even want to talk about surrender or acceptance or anything like that. I knew that I could handle this deal on my own. I started trying to get sober in 1984, and my sobriety date's in 1994. I went to all kinds of recovery places, and they all told me to go to Alcoholics Anonymous, and I said, I don't want that lame organization. I got it now because you gave me information, and I'm a smart guy, and I can do this on my own. I don't need you guys. I don't need this so-called higher power that you told me about. I can do this. What happened on February the 25th, 1994, was that I gave up. A week before, my wife had asked me that she needed help. That's why she's got a week more sobriety than me. I was able to help her, but it took me another week before something happened. And I, for the longest time, didn't understand what that something was. Something got in the way between me and a drink, and I was able to drive home that night from the recovery place and not take a drink. Didn't have anything to do with acceptance. When I first got to Alcoholics Anonymous, the only thing I heard in the meetings was acceptance, acceptance. Page 449, acceptance is everything, da 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 da. I couldn't hang with that. So I know a lot of people got sober and it helped their lives to have that in their that chapter in their lives. But for me, it didn't work because, you know, I got to talking in my head, of course, bad spot. I took a look at that word acceptance, and it's, for me, it was a completely intellectual thing. Here are the facts. I look at the facts. I accept what the facts are telling me. You know, I've been drinking out of control. I can't hold my life together. I'm a sick, disgusting, pathetic, dangerous, hopeless alcoholic. Went through all of those every day. Yet I can accept the fact that okay, there's all the facts. I can accept I'm an alcoholic. So what? I haven't done anything yet. I just accepted the fact that I'm an alcoholic. And I accepted the fact that I was an alcoholic starting in 1984. And I didn't get sober until 1994. But what happened to me during that time, in the end, was I finally said, okay, I give up. I will go to your organization. It looks like you guys know how to stay sober. I will do the things that you said you did. And maybe, just maybe, I'll be able to stay sober. And I said, and I'll take your damn steps too. And if they don't work, I'll take all 12 of them. I'll go back out and drink. Well, damn if they didn't work, you know. But what I realized was that what had happened on February the 25th, 1994 is that I surrendered. But what I didn't know was, and why I can hang with surrender much easier than I can with acceptance is that acceptance is all about me doing something. It's all up here. It's about me doing something. When I surrender, I have to surrender to. I didn't have a God of my understanding. Well, I had a God, but I didn't understand him. So I surrendered to Alcoholics Anonymous. This is where acceptance happened. This is where surrender happened for me. I could feel it. I could feel it in my body when I said, it's done, I give it, I'm gonna give it to you. All the things that I thought that I could solve on my own with all that arrogant intellect didn't work. So I'm gonna have to give everything over to you. Every part of my life I surrendered at that point in that point in time. And so, you know, for me, it's surrender is very, very spiritual. And now when I talk to about acceptance and each one of those things, I my first question is, where is God in that? God is there for me in surrender because I surrender to my higher power, the one that I got from taking the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. And, you know, I didn't know I had that way back on February 25th, 1994, in that very special moment where I didn't have to take a drink that day. I didn't realize I had already surrendered to a higher power that I didn't know anything about. So I really feel like that one of the most spiritual things that's ever happened in my whole life was that I surrendered to. And for me, it's I surrender to my higher power. And that, for me, comes from, and you know, pay attention when and see if it happens for you. When I say, I surrender this to you, isn't there peace inside? There's peace inside for me because I know that the God of my understanding that I found in Alcoholics Anonymous, who has the capacity to keep me sober, that God loves me and cares for me and will take that stuff. And then you guys showed me that, okay, now I do the prayer and meditation thing, and God can show me how to solve that problem that he's going to do for me. So for me, it's all about surrender. And it's all about asking, where is God in this so I can surrender to? That's all I have. Thanks.